Hey guys, I'm here just doing the intro. This week it's Reese Turner, actually. Great guy, great comedian, super talented guy, audiovisual work, anything you want done, he's your man. This one's going to be a two-parter because we chilled at his apartment and we did it. Great, we talked a lot about just random topics. He's a real cool guy, great blaxploitation name. Check this one out, guys. It's going to be really fun.
So I got married in September, guys. I'll take the cheap pops, okay? I'm not above that. But don't get too excited, though. I dated her for 10 years before we got married. I wanted to see how she would age. Very well. I got this gold on my finger now.
Certain time.
Cool, man.
So I'm here with Reese hey. Turner.
What's up?
Nothing much.
Yeah.
We're just talking about hunting, which I should have turned the mic on for that.
We should. That was pretty good.
That was a pretty good bit. Probably nothing's going to hit that.
No.
Let's try.
Hunting is bad.
Hunting's weird.
It is. It's a weird thing. I was saying before the mic went on that, like, if you're a sport hunter, somebody who just goes out to shoot things for the sake of shooting things, like, you're sick. That's like you're almost a murderer. You are a murderer. Like you're taking something's life to feel good about yourself. That's fucked.
It's like, those people have like lists of like animals they want to kill.
Yeah,
like, I want to hunt a rhino. How bad? Like, how would you react if I walked in and had a list of kids from my school that I wanted
exactly
to kill?
But like another thing, you have. It sounds terrible. You have more justification in that list. Like, what did the rhino do to you?
It's just living its life as a rhino.
It's like, yo, I'm just a rhino eating grass. It's like, stay off my grass. You'd only be good if it was like old racist Clint Eastwood, like clutching a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's like, I'm going to travel to find it too. Some of these people like travel to Africa, like the guy who shot the rhino there.
He did.
But not the rhino, the lion.
It's like, okay, get a video game or something, man. Like, why do you have to go kill a lion?
Grand Theft Auto, like.
Yeah, you can, you know what, you can do many things in Grand Theft Auto. I don't know if you can kill a lion, though, but...
They should add that as DLC.
Lion killer!
Some people would get offended at that.
They would. But listen, man, I'd rather people killed stuff in video games than for real. But the problem that they always tie to it is like, well, it's just inspiring people to go kill them in real life. It's like, I've killed a lot of things in video games. I never want to kill them in real life unless they're coming right at me.
Yeah.
You know, like, if a lion was charging me... It would probably kill me because I would shit my pants.
Yeah, it's also unfair. Like, you bring in a gun, that's not fair. Like, give like the rider or the lion a gun, or just do it with your bare hands. If someone hunted and killed a lion with their bare hands, I'd be like, congratulations, you did it.
Yeah, if it was like a feat of strength after like the animal made a lot of off color jokes about your family, then okay, like that was in the heat of the moment. But if it's just a rhino and you sneak up on it, even. That's still that's unfair, you know.
Sneaking up on a rhino.
Just shh, 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 shh.
Like Van Damme, it's a.
Yeah, go sleep. Go sleep. Oh, I'm dead.
If you roundhouse kicked the rhino to death, like I'd probably be like, oh fuck.
You couldn't say shit because you could like then roundhouse kick you to Venus. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not fucking with those people.
Oh, you've been hunting. It's so weird.
But it is. It, like, I don't get it, man. And people who like keep trophies of the stuff they killed is super weird. Serial killers do that a lot.
Yeah. <it's>...
Yeah. That's something that likes to keep trophies, you know? Like, I'm just going to, I've got this necklace of human ears. That's not weird, but, like, look at my wall of animal heads. That's totally normal.
Yeah, or, but I skinned this bear alive. Like, let's clean our shoes on his corpse.
On his corpse, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Bear.
That's not weird at all, skinning something. No. Or even when they stuff the animals.
Ugh.
Taxidermy, that's weird, too.
Why? Why is this a thing? And people who do that to their pets...
Oh,
like,
weird.
I love my pets, all right? I love my dog. I've got a wonderful dog. I love it. But when my dog dies, I'm sorry, dog. You're getting, like, whatever happens to dead animals. Like, like I don't know. I was a very sheltered child. Do y'all go to a farm? I think they go to a farm.
I think they go to that one farm.
Up north. There's a lot of room for them to run around.
Oh, God.
I think my parents lied.
My parents were brutally honest. They'd be like, Pumpkin got hit by a car.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
I didn't have any pets that got hit by a car. We had indoor pets. It'd have been weird if, like, the bird got hit by a car. Listen, the cockatoo got hit by an SUV. I don't know.
Flying too low.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so sad. I hate that my parents have a bird. Like, it's just, like, it's a cockatoo. Like, it's a big fucking bird. Like, a tropical bird.
Ugh.
And it's like in a cage. It doesn't do anything but sit in a cage and try to bite your face off when you go near.
I have like four birds in my house right now. Four birds. I have like a guinea pig. I have a rabbit. And I'm like, all this stuff I've inherited and I didn't want.
You're like Dr. Doolittle right now.
Yeah. I was like, all these animals, like, oh, you gotta feed the rabbit, we gotta feed the dogs, the cat. I'm like, why do we have so many animals?
That's cool, though. Like, you know what? This is what I like about animals, and you could probably back me up on this. It's like when you get home and there's nobody else home, there's an animal there and it just runs up to you. It's like, yo, what up?
Yeah. It's a best friend.
It's definitely exactly. Best friend. It is. We just come and visit the animals at their house, man. Yeah, they live here.
You can say the most racist shit around them. They never care.
This dog might be racist. It's a German Shepherd Retriever mix, so it's tad anti-Semitic.
It's got that stuff in it.
It's tad anti-Semitic. Whenever we walk by the synagogue, it goes off a little bit.
It's barking like crazy.
It's weird. It really frightens the elderly.
Also, dog hair is a pretty bad thing. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, and like I wear a lot of black jeans, and as you can see, like... I'm wearing my dog.
It's so hard to get out.
Yeah, you can't. You can't really.
I bought a black coat that I have. That like one time I left it on the chair, like in my living room or in my dining room.
Yeah.
And all the dogs right across the floor. It was covered in dog, cat hair. I spent like 2 hours trying to get it out with.
You got the lint roller.
Yeah, and it still doesn't work. It's like, oh.
Pro tip: get the packing tape and make a couple of like circles of it, and you just go. That's what I use. Packing tape. And it doesn't leave that shit on your pants either.
So good.
Yeah.
Dogs in their hair.
We went from hunting to domestic pets.
I don't understand how... Because like, every time I'm depressed, I just hang out with my dogs. You're just like, you guys are just chilling.
Yeah. This dog is the best dog I've ever... it's the best dog ever.
He knows we're recording because it's silent now. Yeah. Before it was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, it was walking around. It was making noise and shit. Now it's just laying on the couch, chilling out. It knows what's up. It's not its first rodeo.
So, talk about your childhood a little bit. That's one thing I like to get into.
Yeah, man. I grew up in Mississauga, Ontario. It's a large suburb of Toronto. It was all right. Like, both my parents are British. You know, that was super fun growing up. Like, everybody who I knew for a while. Before, like, I went to school, I had an accent because everybody around me was British, right? So I had an accent. Instead of saying ball, I'd say bull, you know, and stuff like that.
Do you still, like, talk like that?
I do for fun. Like, I do a lot, especially when I'm on stage and I impersonate my dad. Like, I could kind of go into it right now, you know. I could slip right in. It's not really an issue for me. Yeah, and then I can switch right back. Like, it's a lot of fun. I want to do... Like, when I first started comedy, I really wanted to... Because I wasn't going to be... I wasn't comfortable, right? Like, nobody's comfortable. I'm still not really comfortable. But when I started, I wanted to do it in a different voice every time I did it. Like, go up once and do it like this. And then go up a second time and do it like this. And then go up the third and maybe do it with a bit of an Irish brogue, you know? And just kind of fuck around. And then nobody would know who the fuck you are, right? And then you could fuck with people. Whenever you do anything, you could be like, yo, how does this guy really talk?
I'd love you to just do like a set, like half, like so people who don't know, you just do a set like half, like in a British accent, and switch to like your Canadian accent, and then do the Irish accent.
Just switch through. Be like, I'd love to do that. If I ever get good enough to, like, I think I'm pretty good with the two accent switching, but if I ever got good enough with multiple that I could just bounce in and out, I would love to do a set where I just...
Don't even acknowledge it. Just be like,
yeah. This fucking guy, fuck. And like, I'd love to do it at M Hostel, actually. Like,
yeah, perfect. M Hostel. It's a hostel, so it's always an international audience. It's always a great place.
Yeah, I'm on there. I'm coming up this Sunday, but it's this Sunday, so it's gonna be.
It's gonna be great. This comes out. It's like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You'd probably be out again.
I like doing that room. I like John. John puts on a great show. And it's gonna be. Like, the lineup that I'm on with, it's always fantastic, man. And it, as you said, it's always a great crowd.
Always international, always fun. It's always fun to make fun of people.
Yeah. I love when Australians come in. I love Australian people. They're some of the funnest people on the planet.
Yeah.
But I love to take the piss out of them.
It's so fun. It's
we got a table of Australians in there once, and me and Morgan O'Shea were on the show together, and we were just ripping into them all night. And like Morgan was like, what do you guys pay for? What do you guys use to pay for shit? Fucking bones? Gas? Like, what do you... I loved it so much.
Morgan O'Shea's hilarious.
He's one of the funniest fucking people going, man.
God, there's so many funny people. That's why I like doing this. There's so many funny people.
It is. It's a great city. It's a great scene. But oh shit, we were talking about my child.
Yeah, that's it's cool.
I smoke a little bit of pot. So
a little bit.
I get sidetracked. But yeah. I grew up in Mississauga to British folk, and it was great, man. I moved to Montreal in 2008, and I love it here. This is my new hometown. You know, I've adopted this place. I love this. I love it so much.
It's pretty cool. It's a great city. I like it.
I like it a lot, man.
I love it. I love especially the comedy scene.
Were you born here?
Yeah, I was born on the West Island.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm foreign. I don't know anything about, like, downtown. I don't know. Like, people be like, oh, I live in NDG. I'm like, I don't know where that is.
Okay.
I don't know where anything is. I just know West Island.
Yeah.
Everything's all English.
Yeah.
All English all the time. And when you run to, like, a French person, it's always like, oh, you're the outsider here.
What are you doing here? You get back to my land.
Get over that bridge.
I love that. Like, yeah, it's fun. Like, so you grew up in a suburb as well. You kind of know what it's like to grow up in a suburb.
Oh, yeah. Like, white people everywhere.
Yeah. Growing up, well, when I was a kid, I grew up in a townhouse complex. It was like a co-op housing kind of thing. So it was like a pretty big mishmash of everybody, right? And it was great. That's where I think, you know, I really got the love of humor because I got to see my dad talking to people. My dad was always making people laugh. And you get to see, like, how, you know, how people looked at my dad, and that was always cool. Like, you see people were always, well, you want to have fun, you talk to Larry, you know what I mean? And that's, yeah, that's cool. I love what humor can do for people, you know?
Yeah, it's the best thing. Like, I honestly, I don't think I've ever told you the story, but, like, it's, I remember the night, like, the week my mom died in December. I remember I was so depressed. I went to M Hostel with Dion. I was so depressed. I remember you were on the show. Waseem was on the show.
Yeah.
Abdul Butt was hosting. And I remember just sitting there being like, coming into that place, like, barely hanging on as a person. Like, not only dealing with depression, but dealing with your mom dying. I remember sat there and watched your set. I remember, like, just laughing so hard, being like, oh, thank for this. And then Waseem went up and crushed.
Yeah.
You two were on the show, and then Abdul was hosting. And I remember just being like, this is why I love comedy. Like,
well, I'm really glad that we could help, man. Like, it's tough, and I've been lucky that I haven't lost anybody, like, close to me, you know what I mean? Like, I've lost friends and stuff like that, but, like, my family's pretty much still intact, you know what I mean? And that's crazy to deal with that kind of loss, and that's why humor is so powerful. You see people, they can go there when you're hurting, you know? You just lost somebody so close to you, and then you can go out, and it takes your mind off of it, right? That's why I love comedy so much. It's an escape for people, you know? It's a place for you to go and take that time and feel good, you know? And that's what I love about it. That's why I like to do it.
It really, like, people say, like, what's that old thing? It's like, laughter is the best medicine. It really is. People make fun of that thing, but it really is. Like, if you could laugh at something, especially, like, I remember just, like, the reason I like to make dark jokes is, like, I remember, like, when she was dying, we were just, like, they were told that she was gonna die. Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting there, and my mom's looking at me, and she's, like, making jokes to me. We're just making jokes back and forth. Yeah. And there's, like, nurses in the rooms, and my whole family, everyone's crying. Me and my mom are just making jokes to each other.
Yeah.
I remember, like, she was like, I'm glad you're here for that. Because no one else would understand. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. It's really good to share that moment with somebody. So, like,
of course.
The best times of your life is when you're laughing with your friends. You'd be like, oh, like, this is...
That's it, man. And that's what we... as people, when you look at media, it always romanticizes the happy times, you know what I mean? And then that's what helps get you out of that hard shit, you know what I mean? When you're feeling like that crush, it's humor is a great way to break that tension, you know what I mean? Like, how else? I don't know what I would do. I'd probably fucking jump off a roof, you know what I mean? If my parents died, they're the coolest people on the fucking planet. Like, that's great that you could do that. Like, and then to see, especially the hospital workers, they're so used to seeing one reaction to this kind of stuff, and to bring that, it also, I guess, would get them to think a little bit more about what they're doing as well. That's deep, dude.
It really affirmed my love for comedy. Just after that, like, just comedy, where it's like, because you, like you said, you brought up something that I think everyone can relate to. Everyone just can be like, well, not everyone, but like your parents were funny. And they brought that in your life, so it's a part of how you are. It's like, you can always remember your parents through that and thank them for always building your sense of humor.
Yeah, that's it. And, like, I was very lucky because, like, British people, there's like, two kinds of British people. You know, there's the funny guy, there's the funny British people, and then there's the stuck-up, fucking overly, like, they stand-on-tradition British people. And thankfully, I had the former rather than the latter.
Oh.
You know, and it was great. My grandparents were fantastic. And there was always jokes. Like, I remember, my grandfather at a pipes and drums thing. He used to play, in the marching band with, the drums as part of, police union kind of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he used to wear the kilt when he did it. And a younger woman came up to him, "What do you wear under your kilt?" And he said, "Lipstick, if I'm lucky." And I was like 14 or so when he said that, and I fucking died, man. I was just running around. Like, he was probably 63, and I thought that was a pimp move. I was just like, look at, like, my grandmother was giving him the dirtiest cut eye. It was just,
it's so funny. Lipstick.
It was lovely. Like, my grandfather, like, when you walk into a bar or anything with with my grandfather, you go into a Legion with that, man. Everybody's like, "Roy!" And it's like fucking Norm in Cheers. Like, everybody knows this old fuck. And I love that. I love, like, he's got a lot of stories from his life. And that's what I want out of life, right? I want to live my life from my stories, you know? That's like what my dad does. He grew up in London in the 60s and 70s. He knew some really cool people and he did a lot of really cool shit. I want to do that or greater, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I wanna have stories that I can tell my kids and all that stuff. That's what I want out of life.
I think stand-up really gives you that opportunity, because, like, all the best stories I have are just something happened through comedy.
Yeah, man, it's getting that way, that's for sure. Like, I lived a stupidly absurd life growing up before comedy. I used to do a lot of stupid shit.
But, as everyone does.
Yeah, growing up in the suburbs especially, you know.
Suburb kids are the worst.
I don't know where we get this idea that we're invincible, but somehow everybody has that idea if you grew up in the suburbs. I had that until I started breaking bones. I thought I could not. I was like, I'll never die. And then I think I broke my ankle twice, and then I broke my tailbone and my wrist. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Like, oh, things hurt.
Yeah, this is not right. I still can't sit down for a long period of time, man. It fucking sucks. Oh. Don't break bones, anybody.
Yeah, just don't do it.
That's a friendly advice from Uncle Reese.
Don't do stupid things. Do stupid things.
Just
don't break
safely.
Yeah, be the safe one. I always like watching people do stupid shit, and I'm just one safe. I'm like, oh, this is the That's why I like YouTube videos where people are getting hurt. It's like, oh, it's all the fun of doing it, watching it, but not actually.
I love
getting
it, hurt. And it also makes me feel good about me.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'm like, look at you, dummy. Oh, you're so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, why would you think that's a good idea? You're so dumb. I never did that. I feel great about myself.
It's like, I love watching backyard wrestling videos that go wrong.
Oh, why? Why do they do that?
Especially when they're like 30.
Yeah, well, it's because they got this dream.
I'm going to make it big. They're on grass. They're like, yeah, they got like signs and like cookie sheets.
It's so weird. Growing up, I was probably like one of wrestling's biggest fans.
Oh, me too.
I was so into it. Like, I'm 31 now. So, like, I'm talking, I got into it in, like, 1988. Like, I got, when I was 4, you know what I mean? I still remember moments of, like, one of the scariest things that I remember seeing was Jake the Snake Roberts biting Macho, or getting his snake to bite Macho Man when he tied him up.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, you see this, and he's in the ropes?
Yeah, I thought he killed him, you know?
And
I
was, you,
like,
see that snake?
Yeah, oh, it was fucked up. But, like, I was watching that, and I loved it. And I watched wrestling until probably about 1999 or 2000, seriously. Like, I'd watch it every time it was on
TV.
That's
like the best time for wrestling.
It was. Like, I watched it in the golden age. And then WWE bought WCW, and all of the talent kind of, like, my favorites didn't end up coming over, some of them. And then when they came over, they were giving shit angles.
Oh, that was, the invasion, post-invasion was terrible.
It was so bad. I got frustrated and I turned it off. And then I didn't come back to wrestling. I still haven't really, but I went to WrestleMania 18.
I watched that in the theater.
It was
great.
So sick. It was at the Sky Dome.
Except for the main event.
The main event was overshadowed.
Since I love Jericho, it's like,
yeah,
Rock Hogan, come on. People who didn't see that, I feel so bad for.
I've been at a lot of events, like a lot of sporting events, a lot of concerts, a lot of everything, a lot of, like, mixed martial arts fights, everything. But I've never, ever, ever heard a building get as loud as it did with the Rock Hogan.
Whose side were you on?
I was Hogan, 100%.
You're Hogan, I was Rock.
I was Hogan. Like, because that's, like, you have to understand, I was born in 84.
Yeah,
I was immortal Hulk Hogan to me, you know what I mean? When you hear the din, 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 din on the guitar, like, when that, oh, man, when that shit would go on, I'd run downstairs. I would jump down flights of stairs to catch a Hogan match when I was a kid. You know, even though he's a garbage wrestler, like you watch his matches now, and it's like, man, this is terrible.
Yeah, you just get it. You just
like, you get punched and then punch, start kick, jerking kick. Off to invisible people in front of him. Like, it was so weird.
Worst finisher in wrestling history, too.
Oh, the leg drop.
Worst finisher.
Arguably that, or the Ultimate Warrior's gorilla press followed by a body splash.
Was yeah, that was pretty too. Weak too. But I think those are equal.
Yeah, but man, like for me, this made me feel like a kid again. Like when Hogan's the New World Order music started up, I was there with like five of my buddies, right? And we went fucking like apeshit, like we were all 10 again. You know what I mean? And it was insane. Like that's crazy that medium of entertainment can still elicit that strong of a response from people.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I mean, that's why I can't watch it now. Like, I try it, and it's just like I don't have the connection. Like I remember even that match. Wasn't it Van Damme versus Regal in that match?
Yeah, and I don't know who I was cheering for.
Regal.
Yes, sir. Oh,
brass duck. Regal's so good. I remember loving Van Damme at the point. I mean, Regal pulled RVD out the ducks, and RVD kicked him out of his head. I was like, yeah.
So good. I got to see, like, that pay-per-view was fantastic. WrestleMania was just fantastic for me. I got to see DDP.
Oh, yeah. Against Christian?
I got to see DDP, man. Like, for me, in WK, you don't understand. When we were in high school, if we did that and we caught you looking at it from anywhere in a hallway or anything, we could walk up to you and give you the diamond cutter. We did that in the middle of school. We just diamond cut people.
Diamond cutter's so much cooler than the RKO.
It is so much cooler. Because you lightly lock the head in with both arms, you just drop it.
My favorite angle ever is when Canyon started ripping off DDP. And they would show you WCW, like it'd be like the shot of the building, and you see a little guy standing there. Then Canyon would run over and give him a diamond cutter. And I remember Mike Sanders like won his first match. He's like, I won. And then Canyon out of nowhere gives him the diamond cutter.
He was so good. It's so sad. He killed himself.
Yeah, he had a lot of problems. Like a lot of those generation guys.
That sucks. And like that's the thing, because like so many of them got so roided out. You know, like because if you look at it, like when I watch, because I still will watch old wrestling. You know what I mean? Like I'll watch stuff from like 98,
97.
Great. And when I watch that, I have a new appreciation for it. You know what I mean? Like when I watched Mick Foley in the Undertaker's cage match there, where he goes off the side and then through the top.
I can't watch that anymore.
As a kid, I was like, and again, this is when I was invincible. I thought he was dead. You know what I mean? And I was like this, oh man, that's all. Then as an adult, I watched that and I was horrified. After the first big fall, I was like this, stay down, Mick. Oh. Stay down. And he didn't, you know?
Anything like, with Mick Foley is
just he's painful. Just so hard. Those guys just went at it, man. And like what you're treated to in those matches, that's just a live stunt show, man. That's what that is.
It's crazy. Especially his WCW stuff is a lot more brutal.
Yeah.
Like his match with him and Max Payne against the Nasty Boys. WCW used to have that like ramp that's like elevated, so it goes right to the ring.
Right to the ring.
He took a bump off that onto concrete from like it was like 8 feet.
Oh,
and then and then one of the Nasty Boys comes up with an actual shovel, and he goes to hit him hard, and he thinks Foley's gonna put his hands up, but he doesn't, so he just bamps him on the head. Knocks him out cold and pins him. Like, whoa, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
And then he talks about all the shit he has now.
Yeah, look at if you look at him walk, man, he looks like he's like a like he's hobbling everywhere. He's definitely like, if you want to talk about devoting yourself to your craft.
Oh my god.
That man has there's nobody like he's on like that Van Gogh level. You know what I mean? He cut out his own ears. He's done. He's the Van Gogh of wrestling.
Van Gogh of pro wrestling. Cut off his own ear.
Oh my god.
The shit that guy used to do, just even Japan, like cutting himself open and like the explosive death matches. No,
the guys who do that shit in Japan are nuts. Like when I watch that shit, I'm like this, you hate your body. You want to die and you're trying, like you've heard of death by cop.
Yeah.
They're death by wrestling. That's what they're trying to do to themselves.
Just type it. That was big in the days, like ECW. I remember like what got me in was those triangle ladder matches they used to have.
Those are big.
And now watching those now, it's like, oh, especially with Edge retiring from a neck injury, you're just like, oh, I get why. Like when Hardy's at was it 17 when Hardy's hanging on to the titles 20 feet in the air,
spears him off
and just bang, you're just like, oh my everything. God.
Like think of like the stress on your wrists, on your knees, on your hip. Like that's how you know we're old.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not thinking about how badass that is anymore. I'm just like, oh man, he's racked up in pain right now.
That's why I can't watch Benoit matches anymore. Like my favorite match,
I used to love that.
Before he died, my favorite match of all time was Jericho Benoit ladder match at WrestleMania. Royal Rumble 2000 for the Intercontinental Championship. And there's that spot I used to love where Benoit goes to suicide dive and Jericho hits him with a chair. And then when you think about all the concussion the guy had, and like you see him, his head hit the chair and then bounce off the floor. It's like, oh my God, this is so painful to watch.
Yeah, you see what they do all the time. It's just... What? Why? Like,
why?
You know, because they get paid.
I'm actually glad it's safer now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit... Like, they shouldn't... Like, what was the match where Mick Foley was handcuffed and he wore, like, 9 chair shots right to the head?
In front of his children.
And his wife. I was watching that documentary and, like, they're horrified. And I was like this... Why would you bring them to the match,
Mick? Why would you do that? And he's like, remember, he's not hurting daddy. I'm like, yeah, but you're getting brutally hit. Why?
What do you mean he's not hurting daddy? You're clearly hurt.
You're
gushing blood.
Taking chair shots to the skull. And I'm just like, I remember as a kid being like, oh, the chair's probably rubber. Like, no, the chair's real. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I wore a chair shot to the head. Like,
oh, you just feel your braids rattle. You're like, oh my God, you guys are idiots.
Yeah, it's like they say, it's an all in how you take it. Right, you're supposed to take it on like the top of your head, and like they're supposed to like obviously hold up, and you're supposed to get your hand a little bit. But like, come on, how are you supposed to do that with your hands behind your back in a handcuff?
Yeah, I think Rock always took the best chair shots because it didn't look like he wasn't the kind of guy that'd feed the head, but he'd always put his hands up last second, and you could tell that he didn't connect.
Well, he was a football player too, so he didn't mind getting hit in the head.
Yeah, he's like, I got that or the stutter. He took the stutter really well.
Yeah,
he just bounced around the ring.
He sold shit well. There's a few people that could really like sell the shit out of moves. Like,
yeah,
he was one of them. Another one who was really good at selling moves is Ric Flair. He used to be really good at selling the shit out of stuff. I love Ric Flair, man.
Ric Flair, early Shawn Michaels was good, too.
Yeah, before he got all weird.
Yeah, before he got all, like, second coming and stuff like that.
Yeah, a 7-day Adventist or whatever he is.
Triple H used to be a lot better, too. When he used to wear the long pants and he was, like, a good guy.
Yeah, but, like...
That brief period?
It was a very brief period. And that's the problem. He was, I think, always more comfortable being that heel-type character, right? I don't know why. Because it wasn't really that good. Like, he's just... I get it.
Because he was, like, third... At that point, he was third in the company as a good guy. Because he was Rock, Austin, and then him.
Yeah.
And I don't say X-Pac, because X-Pac was really big and popular at that time. When he was European champ, people were into that guy.
He was really big. Because he was... I remember I first saw him as the 1-2-3 kid.
Yeah, Beatty Razor.
Yeah, that was his first gimmick that he did in the WWF. And I was like, this guy is a little ninja. But he's one of the guys who I couldn't really buy beating the big guys. You know what I mean?
He was really... It was even like a lot of guys are small but ripped. He was just like a small, small guy. Yeah.
His thing was he knew martial arts, but it wasn't really that good.
He just throw like really weird, awkward kicks and have a really awkward moonsault.
A jump spinning like middle kick. Like, why would you jump around to spin to kick me in the stomach?
Yeah. He left to go to WCW.
Yeah. And that's when it kind of hit his stride, I guess.
Then he came back as X-Pac.
And then he came back, and then he went back to the WCW after. Then he came back again, I think.
That's the NWO. I remember that. So, and then he got fired.
So weird.
Because then he had the sex tape with China, which is... I'm glad he's getting his life back together now, which is good. A lot of these guys are.
Yeah. But, I don't know, man. Those wrestlers, that movie The Wrestler, was really a good look at it.
You know,
like, they all look like they're a bit damaged. And, I don't know, man.
One of the scariest scenes in that movie, like, everyone talks about when he blades himself, cuts himself. I remember one scene where a guy opens up the steroid kit, and he's telling about all the drugs. I'm like, that's kind of fucked up. No one mentions that scene.
No, that's not scary.
That's not scary at all, putting dangerous chemicals inside your body.
So weird. I used to have a buddy, and he did that once, like, in front of me. He's like, yep, we're going to do some roids. He stuck a needle in his butt, and I was like...
You need to go work out now? Like,
yeah, like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go smoke weed and eat cheeseburgers. I just really want to... cultivating mass.
No one dies of weed rage.
No, that's it. That's why I love weed so much, man. Like, weed is a wonderful thing and more people should get into it.